You are listening to episode 118 of True to Size.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to True to Size. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I'm joined by the rest of the quarantine at Canada Got Soul, Mr. Joel Hernandez.
Yo, 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 yo.
And Mr. Alvin Martinez.
Hello, hello.
And are you guys ready? He just hit 10,000 followers on Instagram, so he's kind of a big deal. And if you've seen his on-foot shots, you know he's got calves of steel. If you thought his first step was freaky, you should see step number two. If you didn't already know, I'm talking about Christopher Chu.
Yeah. What?
Bars.
Chris, thanks for being here. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy sneaker podcast schedule to join us. We know you guys record every single day, so it's nice that you were able to skip today and join us. It's very kind of you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We just, there's no schedule.
How are things on your end over in Montreal, Chris? Are you guys doing all right? Or?
Well, the sun's out.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
Nice outside. People are a lot more active. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of the distancing that they're doing, but it feels good to have the people like feel, I don't know, get happy a bit, right? We went for ice cream is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Was it Ben and Jerry's ice cream?
It wasn't. It wasn't.
Oh, okay. You're saving that.
Not one of the 31 flavors of Ben and Jerry's.
You're saving that for the photo you're going to take next Tuesday. I can see that. I understand. We've got a good show this week. If you didn't notice, we did skip True to Size Tuesday this week because of the long weekend, but we're back with a very full show. We've got a bunch of follow-ups for news stories we covered in previous episodes. We're going to surprise Chris with a Can You Name 5 at some point when he least expects it. And we've got another frontline worker shout-out because last week's was very well received. To close out the show, we're going to discuss what the new normal could look like in the sneaker world. That means how shops are going to adjust, how online shopping may look, and what sneaker meetups may look like in the near future. But first, Chris, you have 20 seconds. Can you name 5 non-OG, non-collab Jordan colorways of the Air Jordan 1?
Oh. Sure. Game Royal. Jim Red, the Shattered Backboard 2, Shattered Backboard 3, that's cheating, and the Pine Green.
Okay, there we go.
Uno, dos, tres.
He only knows how to count to 3 in Spanish.
One guy, bro.
I know, I thought I would get him with the non-OG, non-collab, because he couldn't do the go-tos, but that was good, that was impressive.
What you didn't expect is that I'm not an OG.
I don't know what OGs.
That's true, actually. He only knows the new Gs. I apologize.
For
even assuming otherwise.
The 10 Gs.
The 10 Gs. Hey. But
and technically. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
All I did was name random colors. And you're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Just literally any color on the color wheel would probably be a Jordan 1 colorway at this point. The magenta aqua. But second, Alvin.
Oof, fire round.
Yes, the fire round. We like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from, you guys want to take a guess?
Lawrence Hopkins.
Sneaker life husband.
Aaron.
We may have to switch the fire round to just Aaron has a question because he's been killing it with the fire round questions recently. But he has another good one this week. And his question is, UFC's deal with Reebok as their main sponsor is about to expire. Do you think Nike would jump in the octagon and offer up to be the main sponsor of the UFC and or their fighters? And this is another follow-up he asks, and I don't know a bunch about UFC, so I can't really answer that, but I know a couple of you guys do. He says, if they do take over, what UFC fighter can you see getting a Nike deal? So it is a good question. Reebok has been a sponsor of the UFC for like as long as I can remember. Before we answer though, do you guys remember Tap Out?
Yeah.
Man, that was the shit and, back in like 2010.
Yep. No.
Back when you could buy Tap Out at Foot Locker, I was killing Tap Out merchandise, bro.
The logo was cool.
The logo was that's basically where it ended for Tap Out. The logo was cool. Alvin, what do you think? Do you think Nike specifically would jump in and sponsor the UFC, or
I don't know, man. I don't like I know they sponsor some boxers, like they had Pacquiao for a bit, and they have a couple of other like boxing athletes, but I don't know if I see them sponsoring UFC at all. Just because I've never seen them at all in that line in that kind of sport doing anything with anybody. So I don't know. I would say no.
Yeah, Reebok has really had a monopoly over like the UFC and everything surrounding it for a really long time. So it's tough to even imagine anyone else like sponsoring it or covering it. But I kind of agree with you, but mostly in the sense that like I think that Nike cares a lot about its brand image. It's just one of those brands that has a really strong like sense of self, and they want to be perceived in like the best PR light possible. And I think that the UFC, like you mentioned, they sponsor a couple boxers, but boxing has a little bit more art form to it. Not to say that UFC doesn't, but there's a little bit more finesse involved in boxing, whereas UFC, there's blood all over the place. People are literally like wailing at each other until they pass out. And it doesn't seem like something that Nike would want to attach their name to, just because I don't imagine them wanting a big swoosh on the ground covered in blood from a UFC match. Like, it just doesn't really seem like it would be up their alley PR-wise. But it's possible. Joel, what do you think? I know you were into the UFC a little bit.
Yeah. I still watch here and there. But I think I totally agree with what you're saying. I think they just want to keep their reputation like clean, like so to say, like no pun intended. But but the controversial stuff that goes on behind with the UFC fighters and whatnot, and how they act out, and the whole drug scandal with Bones Jones and all that stuff. I don't know if they want to, like you said, I don't know if they want to attach their swoosh, their name on that kind of, BS that goes down. So yeah, I totally agree with what you guys are both saying. So yeah, I'm on the same level as that.
Chris, what do you think? Is it going to be Bok Boys for the UFC going forward, or is it going to be Swoosh Fam?
I think it's either Bok Boys, or I think Under Armour would be a better fit.
Oh, I do like that a lot.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think, but I agree absolutely with what you said, L, about the Nike image stuff. It's like the shiny, top tier that you don't want to mess up. You don't want to take that chance.
Yeah.
Even though UFC is like a huge moneymaker.
Huge.
I don't know if the dollars would convince them to get in the ring.
Yeah. I also don't see it happening, but it's an interesting thing to think about. Do you guys have any thoughts or suggestions of UFC athletes that you could see being sponsored by Nike, or is it just too far away from the spectrum to even imagine? I personally don't watch UFC, so I have no idea about anybody.
I think the longevity of a fighter causes a bit of an issue in terms of sponsorship. The deals would be really short. One fighter becomes the hot ticket, but then once they get taken down, you got to move, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough to have like one spokesperson that stays constant.
Yeah, the same way too, like you said, like they're, because they take so much hits to the head and whatnot, their fighting is not as long. Like Chris said, like the longevity of it is a quick lifespan kind of thing, if you want to say it, for a fighter. You'll see like sometimes with their records being like 34-12 and whatever, but that's throughout their whole MMA fighting and whatnot, not just like strictly UFC.
Yeah.
But like it's like if I were to pick one person to like put a swoosh on, it'd probably be Bones Jones. But like I said, with his history and whatnot, I don't know if I don't know if they want to do that kind of shit. So, but yeah, man, I totally agree.
it's just to add on to what Joel was saying about like even like if you're gonna take Bones Jones, like you don't realize how good he is until maybe the tail end of his career.
Yeah,
you know, and by that time, giving him a deal would be a bit too late.
Yeah,
like, you wouldn't capitalize on what happened before, so it's tough.
Yeah, but like what Chris was saying, like it's just so short, and like you know you gotta find like the hot ticket, and you know Connor was like a hot ticket for a while until he started acting up. So it's like you know it's just so many risks, kind of thing. You know what I mean? To like put like a person on strictly like Nike and whatnot, and have that person like you know endorse them and you know make them the face of the UFC kind of thing. So. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Like, the last time I remember watching a fight was Connor was fighting, and he got, like, demolished by that big Russian dude, Meganov or whatever his name is. and, like, I know since then, I don't think he's even fought, at all, as far as I can remember. And that was, like, I think a year and a half, 2 years ago. So, like you said, like, and they're fighting so infrequently that it wouldn't even make sense for Nike to put the swoosh on them. Like, okay, they're going to wear swoosh, like, boxer shorts or whatever they wear to wrestle in, but like okay, they're wearing it twice every 3 years. Like they're not really getting a lot out of the endorsement unless they're really big on social media, which of course some of them are. But yeah, I definitely don't see it happening. Just like for all the reason we listed, I think that Nike is a lot smarter than us, and if we thought of this, then they thought of it 5 years ago. So but Aaron, thank you for the question. That was a good one, a good little conversation to start the pod. If you would like to submit a question for the fire round and have us answer it on the pod, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Next up, the CGS picks. Each week we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's trademark phrase,
super cute.
Thank you very much. And by process of elimination, by eliminating everyone except for me, I will be going first in the CGS picks this week. And I have a pick that I'm really upset even exists, but we're going to talk about it anyways. So it's the the orange camo Air Max 90 duck camo Atmos thingy that's coming out for like the third time this year now. So Air Max Day, we saw the duck camo 2.0 come out from Air Max and Atmos. It was for Air Max Day. It was really cool. It was the 2.0 of a shoe that came out a couple years ago. Cool story. A couple weeks ago, they randomly do another one, and it's Volt with the duck camo, and it's Atmos, and it's like, okay, cool. The Volt was kind of nice. I'm a Volt guy, so all right, cool. And now it's like a couple weeks later, and they're like, you thought we were done. Here's an orange one. And the shame about the whole thing is I think the orange one is the best of the three, but it's now the latest one, and I'm kind of fed up with it at this point. I think that we mentioned during Air Max month that we're kind of tired of seeing them just do the 2.0 or the reverse or the whatever of an older shoe. Like, we want to see some original designs, and now they're on the third one within like 3 months, and I'm just kind of like over it. But the shoe itself is what you've seen for the last 3 months. It's the duck camo on the mudguard and a little bit of the upper, and then the mesh paneling on the Air Max 90 is a vibrant, like, total safety orange, and that's about it. The shoe itself is nice. Like, it's a good-looking shoe. It's my favorite of the three that have dropped, of the red, the Volt, and now the orange. I like the orange the best. But I'm just, like, I'm done. Like, why do they keep doing... If they were going to do this, they should have done all three at the same time and done it in a cool pack or something, and then...
I think...
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that, if anything, if they were going to do it like this and, like, stagger the releases, it should have done different silhouettes.
Yeah, something.
So, like, the Volt one, Volt being, like, the Air Max 95 being, like, you know, having a popular colorway, the Volt... You should have made that Volt colorway on a 95.
Yes.
And I think that would have looked crazy, to duck be honest.
Camo, like, oh,
that
yeah. That
would super dope. And at least it's a different silhouette, and there's a little bit more of a reason for people to, not that people don't want the one that's coming out, but, I mean, you give people like us who are angry about stupid shit reasons to like it, you know what I mean? Like, that would have been super dope. And then the orange one, you could have done like a totally, you could have done 97 or like just something totally different. Easy. Just switched up the game, you know what I mean? Like, and yo, that colorway would look different, like different, cool, like stupid on any silhouette.
Easily.
So like, I don't know. I feel like the creativity in terms of colorways is definitely.
What is it, poop? Alvin? Yes, tell me. Thank you. It's a poop. This is a poop for me. I agree. Thank you for you saying it. This is a poop for me. Everything that Alvin said is 100% correct. I think that the rollout was poor. I think that there's minimal to, well, not even minimal. There's no storytelling. It's kind of just like, here's another one, here's another one, here's another one. And Alvin, we get paid to be angry at stupid things. So don't ever knock our hustle, okay? Not that we get paid, but... we have this job, if you can call it a job, because we're allowed to get mad at stupid things, so it's okay. Yeah, it's a poop for me. I don't think it needed to happen, and it's unfortunate because I really do like the orange and duck camo, but if outlets were open, this I think would be an outlet shoe at this point, which at that point, yeah. I think I would be down. But yeah, Alvin, go ahead. You can tell us a non-poop pick, hopefully.
So I'm doing the Ronnie Feig X Kith X New Balance Steel Blue.
Oh yeah.
Pack. So it's basically the 992 and the 998. The colorway is, you know, quote unquote steel blue, but it's more of like a charcoal kind of colorway, but more with a blue tinge to it. Very simple looking sneakers. They're sexy, man. But like, again, you know, shout out to Calbi, who is very upset that they're not going to be shipping to anyone in Canada because of New Balance.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, yeah.
What's that backstory?
They started that thing where they're not shipping outside of the country or whatever.
Chris, yeah, so different brands have instilled that they won't for like particular stores in the United States, or if you're in Canada, you can't ship outside of your country.
Yeah.
So for Nike.
Oh, okay. Like okay.
Right? Like a store boutique in the States that's selling Nike can't ship that Nike outside of the US.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah. It's pretty shitty.
So I guess New Balance has the same deal.
That's annoying. That's horrible. That's
worst
not good.
Fucking idea ever, New Balance.
It's only, I think when we talked about it on the podcast, we were like, this is awesome. It brings back the hunt. It makes things more exclusive, but then when we want something, it's like, this is the stupidest. I hate this. This is dumb.
No, just because, like, right now there's, like, I don't want to say stupid, but there's a New Balance wave that people are hopping on that we may have created, Traffic Boys, Canada Got Soul, Sneaker Podcast.
But
I'm just saying, there is this wave of New Balance right now in Canada specifically where... Yo, the prices are skyrocketed, man. So it's just like, fuck, man. For me to be able to, for me or Calbi or Chris or anyone on this podcast to be able to get this fucking shoe, I'm selling like half of my collection, and I'm not doing that.
Good luck.
But retail for the last Ronnie New Balance was $320 or $330 US.
Oh my!
Yeah. So
resale
is gonna be like five something. Yeah,
so not even just the shipping, but the exchange rate is killing us.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's like we've mentioned before. It's kind of a cool policy to have under normal circumstances, like to have region exclusives to bring back the whole hunt, and you have to go to the boutique to get it. I get it. During a global pandemic where literally nothing is open and nobody can go and get it, or like, I'm not saying that Alvin was going to fly to New York City or LA to pick up the shoe, but he doesn't have the option. So even if he wanted to, he could not right now. And I think that maybe this would be an instance where they would forego such policies, but there are always ways around it. Alvin, if you really want it, we'll figure it out for you. We got a lot of bright minds on this podcast.
We'll figure it out.
But how did you rate them, Alvin? What do you think?
They're super sexy, but they're just super cute because I'm not going to be able to get that resale shit. You know. So.
Don't worry, Alvin. Yeah. We are team retail. We are the retail gods over here. So we got you. We're going to figure it out. Joel, what's your pick?
Okay, so my pick is, I guess it's border friendly, but it's the New Balance, New Balance 992 in the gold and cream.
Ooh.
But yeah, man, this shoe is like super hot. It's super dope. It's like the upper is like in a gold kind of, you know, maize kind of color. But it's got like the gray accents, which is probably most likely 3M hits. The N looks like it's like a 3M gray. And it's on top of the it's a 992. So these are, I think, available June 1st, and it's going for 180. You can find them on newbalance.com, most likely, hopefully, newbalance.ca. Like I said, border friendly, retail 180. So
180 is the US?
180 US, yeah, 180 US. Man. But yeah, hopefully we can get our hands on these, and you know, traffic boys will be nice and happy.
I'm a big fan of yellow shoes. Really big fan of yellow shoes. Especially yellow suede shoes.
Yeah, the way that they hit these with the yellow and the gray.
Yes.
And it just is perfect. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like oversaturated yellow and whatnot, like, you know, little hits of gray, but it's just perfect.
Great fall tones. Really good for
definitely,
fall wear.
Definitely. Yeah, man.
Does it change your opinion if I said that there's going to be a shitload of 992s releasing?
I
shitload of colorways.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Like with it's going right now.
There's a lot slated for, like, the upcoming months. So.
Wow. Crazy.
We're Team GR on True to Size, so I don't
think it's... Team GR?
I mean, the gray colorway is a GR, so
yeah.
Go for it. Gray's the smoothest.
Yeah, man.
Chris, are you going to present us with a pick this week?
No, I got nothing.
That's quite all right. I didn't want to hear it anyways, so it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Next up, this week in Kicks, now is the part of the show where we discuss the current headlines and happenings in the world of sneakers. First up, if you'll remember those game-worn Jordans we talked about last week, they just sold for a ridiculous, one more time, ridiculous price. So, as we discussed last week, a pair of game-worn, hand-autographed Chicago Air Jordan 1s from 1985 were recently put up for auction. The auction has now ended. I believe it ended on the weekend. And they sold for a staggering, not just a staggering, a record $560,000 USD.
Holy.
So this is maybe one of the one times where the conversion actually does work out to nearly $1 million. When you convert it to Canadian.
Holy crap.
So, the auction was completed on Sotheby's, Sotheby's, we don't know how to pronounce it, and it makes them the most expensive pair of sneakers sold on the auction website. The record was previously held by the Moon Shoe. If you guys remember, it was in the news last year. It was the prototype waffle Nike sneaker. It sold for $437,000 USD in 2019. Both shoes, by the way, sold by the same seller, Shoezeum. So he's sitting on a couple zeros now. Good for him.
Yeah, man. Holy.
But he gave up all the clout. What's
he
up?
Did. He gave up the clout, but he got himself a house, I guess, now. So
yeah.
It depends. Holy clout, crap, house, bro. They kind of rhyme. It depends on which end you want to go to. Is there any shoe in the world that's worth $560,000 USD? Realistically? Alvin's shaking his head no.
Wait, we all agree that the guy that, or the person that bought it is like stinking rich.
I would hope so.
Yeah,
I hope that's not a CERB purchase.
COVID cop.
Yeah,
COVID
Yeah. So it has to be. Yeah, no.
Five,
but
six.
It is Michael Jordan.
It is the Michael Jordan game worn.
You could probably pay that much to go see him.
Like, just give him the cash.
To get a pair autographed and stuff. Hey, MJ, wear these, and then, give me the socks, too.
Yeah.
$500.
Crazy, bro.
But then MJ's a billionaire, too.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't care about 560 grand. The thing is...
Wow. You'd bet if you bet him, though. If you bet
him. If you bet him, I bet you can't wear these shoes and autograph them at the same time. He'd be like, give me that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you got to give up your
New Balance.
Your New Balance.
The only thing I could say is that, like, there's only so many shoes that he's worn in games, and as they all get snatched up or whatever the past tense of that is, like, I mean, there's a limited supply. Like, it's the limited shoe kind of thing, so...
Yeah, well, I asked Sean this question. I go, hey, man, what happened? Because that rumor where he wears one new pair every game, right?
Yeah.
I go, where'd all those shoes go? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you gave them to fans. I go, but then wouldn't we see like way more of them on the market?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, you know,
because maybe back then, like, unless hindsight is 2020, like there's a possibility that these people threw them in their basement. Like, I mean, if 10 years ago or whatever it was, if Kevin Durant or LeBron, maybe not LeBron, because he was one of those chosen, if you will. But Kevin Durant 10 years ago or whatever throws you a pair of his KD1s, you're kind of like, all right, that's cool. I'll throw them in the duffel bag and throw them in the basement kind of thing. It's definitely tough. You would think, I guess, if the rumor was true that he was wearing a different pair every game, there would be a ton, because if you want to count up games played. But I don't know. I can't, like, there's rumors out there that they were purchased by Nike because Sotheby's would not reveal who purchased them. But I could see Nike or Jordan himself, because if he was giving them all away, he probably doesn't have any. There's rumors out there that Nike was the one who purchased them. We'll never know, I mean, unless it becomes public. But that would make a lot of sense. I could see Nike wanting to have those in their archive. So,
sure. Do you think if it weren't for The Last Dance, it would go as high?
No.
No.
I don't think so. No. I don't think so at all.
That museum guy. Yeah.
That's what he said in an interview with the New York Times. I was reading it. He said, he quoted as saying, yeah, my wife and I realized that because The Last Dance was airing that we thought it was the right time to move them. So we decided now was when we wanted to do it. Like, it wasn't a coincidence at all.
No.
I mean, it doesn't take a genius to say, hey, there's a really good Michael Jordan documentary out. The GR, or the regular version of the 2013 Chicago one, is going for $2,000 now. How much do you think we can get for this one that he wore and autographed? And Shuzium seems
The one with the Jumpman is 2 G's?
I think so. Why? How many of those do you have?
Yeah,
the Chicago.
Yeah.
No, I don't have it.
Yeah.
But the one with the Jumpman is...
I think any Jordan, and specifically Chicago's, I know Last Shots went up after the last episode as well.
Last Shots went up like crazy.
Yeah. The Last Dance effect. I think we'll be talking about this for a while. We'll see how long it lasts. So next up, Ronnie Feig has stepped up. So once again, as we discussed last week, Ronnie Feig enlisted some of his friends to raffle off 5 pairs of the Friends and Family Air Force One, with all proceeds being donated to the COVID-19 relief funds in America. Oh. And over the weekend, he sent an email blast to everyone who purchased a ticket. And he stated that the goal for the raffle was to raise at least $50,000 to donate. But the outpouring of support was much more than he originally anticipated it would be. And because of that, he refunded everybody their raffle ticket price. So you maintained your entry, but he gave back all the money and he personally donated the $50,000 himself. So he quoted an email and he said, I designed this shoe for the people closest to me in my life, but after seeing everyone show up to this extent, I truly feel like you are all my friends and family. You have been a friend to me. Now let me do my best to be a friend to you. And then at the bottom of the email, he also gave you the opportunity to like maintain your donation or donate it back or whatever. Like, you were allowed to still donate the money. Like, he didn't want it to go to waste. But I mean, like, we were just talking about Michael Jordan. The GOAT. That's one of the most goatiest moves I've ever seen in the sneaker game. Move. Like, that's... I read it and I was like, did I win? Like, I saw the thing first and I was like, oh shit, did I win?
I saw... Sorry.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I saw your story.
Yeah.
I saw your story. Then I checked my email. I go, I didn't get an email. I go, oh, what the heck, man?
He didn't refund you.
It came in after.
I'm personally donating $50,000. He's cutting the entries in half and sending half of them back. So is it safe to say, Chris, that you didn't win then, I guess? Or we would have heard about it by now?
Well, no, wait. They announced the winners?
Yeah, they did. So that's a no. Yeah. I guess that's a no.
Let me check my junk.
Yeah, order. That's where mine was. Mine was in my junk mail, actually.
Oh, no, but for the winners, right? Oh, you won?
No, my like refund for the $14 was in my junk mail, which I felt like I won by getting $14 offered back to me. I did still donate it, but I did feel like a winner at the time. So sure, yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I did, in fact, win. Yes, thank you for asking. I haven't seen anybody post that they won, so I would be interested to see who actually won. No.
All I got in my junk email is stuff for Viagra. I don't know what that is. Viagra.
Viagra.
A Cialis?
Why did they target me?
Is the email above it from Something Hub? Because that would be why they targeted you.
No, something Grind. Oh.
It always seems to go off the rails when Chris gets here. Usually it takes a little bit longer, but so the last Bhakti Shantakalbi. The last article of news we have, also an update on a previous news story. The 7-Eleven dunk is a no-go. Mm. So it seemed like it was very short-lived, but we dove deep into the 7-Eleven Nike SB collaboration a couple weeks ago. I think it was my pick, or we just talked about it. But now we have more news about the backstory, and it is a really good backstory. But the sad part is the news about the backstory was released with the news that the drop has been canceled. So that's unfortunate. But the shoe was supposed to be released as an Asia exclusive to coincide with the Olympics that were supposed to be happening in Japan this summer. Because this was the first year that skateboarding was supposed to be in the Olympics, Nike SB was going to mark the occasion with the release in Japan. And 7-Eleven, I don't know if you guys know this, I kind of had an idea, but after reading up on it, I realized more. 7-Eleven in Japan, or in Asia specifically, I guess, is like a lot different than it is in Canada and the US. It's not like a convenience store like it is here. It's actually like a culture spot. Like, people meet up there and just hang out. They have like really cool foods that people will actually be like, I need to go to 7-Eleven to get not a taquito, like something actually really good. So it's a lot different there. So for us, it kind of sounds ridiculous that they would do 7-Eleven, but I guess when you put it in the context of the Asian culture, it makes a lot more sense. So yeah, I'm really disappointed they got canceled, because that backstory really is really cool. Like the whole skateboarding in the Olympics thing, I really like that. And I already like the shoe. So kind of disappointed, but that's okay. On to the next.
On to the next.
I won't complain. Next up, previously in Kicks, this is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. Joel, anything to report for you?
Nope, nothing. No pickups.
Alvin is smirking, so I want to make him go last. So he has to hold it in as long as possible. I see his little smirk over there in the corner. Two things for me. One equally as exciting as the other. I won a runner-up prize in a NetMag raffle on May the 3rd, and I received it yesterday. It was a random box, so I had no idea what I was getting. I thought it was actually going to be like a collectible, because it was for a Bear Brick raffle, or subscription, as he calls it. But it was actually an ACG Nike hoodie, which was really cool. Like, I think retail on those is like $150. So, I mean, to pay like 15 Canadian for that, I was A-OK, and Jill immediately took it and said, ooh, I'm going to cut this in half, basically. So, yeah, I didn't get a new hoodie, but collectively, there was a hoodie delivered to me, so that was cool.
Did you get to keep the left side or the right side?
Not cut in half that way, the other way, but yeah. I got to
She cropped it like a crop top.
I got to keep the side that doesn't have a hood anymore. I got a belt, a nice yellow belt.
With pockets.
It's the cool thing about it, while I get on a quick about that hoodie, it has the kangaroo pocket. I've never seen this before. The kangaroo pocket has zippers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very cool. The quality on that hoodie is insane. I'm sad that it's in two pieces now.
Make a mask out of the part that you did.
A really good idea. I'm not that talented, but I'm sure someone in my life might be, so I might do that.
A mask with a pocket, imagine?
A yellow mask, too. That'd be cool.
You could put your Scalus in there. I mean...
What? That's not where it goes. What?
Eventually, it goes near your face, so... and the second thing I got, which is not that exciting, but, I think it was 20 days ago also, actually, I bought a new pair of running shoes on sportcheck.ca because my pair of runners was like very dated, and it finally arrived on, I think actually on Holiday Monday, which was weird, but I got the Pegasus 35 on sale from Sportcheck. So far,
hey,
so
can
good.
I say, I'm pretty proud of your running, my friend.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
You're doing like big strides there. It's so intensive that I get tired after your runs, I'm like, oh my God, that's exhausting what you just did.
Chris cracks open a cold one. He's like, whew, that was a good one. Yeah, it's been fun. Honestly, the motivation I needed was to pay $400 for a Disney race in next January. So, I mean, I'm not going to put that money to waste. So that's how you do it. You sign up for a race and then you prepare for the race, not the other way around, because there's no motivation the other way. So that's my key to success. Don't waste the $400. You need to actually do something. Chris, any pickups in the last couple of weeks? You were on here about a month ago. So anything good in the last month?
Yeah, a few things. I just won a raffle. It's like a delayed raffle at Sam Tabac, if you guys have heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's a boutique in Montreal.
Friends of the show.
For the Royal Toe.
Jordan. Oh, nice.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
This is actually my second pair of Royal Toes. So, because I did score a pair on Foot Locker when they released.
Nice.
Very good. So was happened. It like a re-raffle situation or?
No, they just they had their delayed shipment, I guess, and they just did the raffle later.
Yeah, yeah.
So like all of a sudden, I'm like, oh shit, okay, wow. I won that. So that's cool. Yeah,
that's cool.
Two toes, you're almost at a whole foot now. That's good.
Oh yeah, and I picked up this pair of New Balance. I'm showing the guys.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's the New Balance 990 V5. It is Léon d'Or.
Oh, yeah. I like when French people say, can you say it again one more time for the French
people?
Yeah,
do that.
New Balance.
New Balance. Léon d'Or.
Oh, Aimé Léon d'Or.
Yeah, the French part, man.
Neuf, zéro.
New Balance.
Oh, my gosh.
Oof.
Stop it, Chris.
I've had enough of that.
End cap.
End cap.
End cap.
End cap. End cap.
End cap.
So you've been busy then. Two pairs of Royal Toes and some ALD New Balances.
Yeah. I didn't keep the Royal Toes, to be honest. Oh, I had friends that wanted them, needed them more for other ventures, and I said, sure, just take them.
Sure.
Oh, nice.
He resold them on StockX.
Nice. Yes. My friend Stock. My friend. And my friend Goat. Yeah. My friend Grailed.
Grailed.
That's it for you in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's it. That's close by, but yes.
That's all that he wants to divulge publicly. Okay, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I know your wife listens to the show, so that's fair.
Well, she's on it.
That's how she finds out when you've lied about buying shoes. She just listens to the podcast. It's smart.
Oh, shit.
Alvin, you're grinning from ear to ear. What did you purchase? I got tagged, first of all. I think it was last week or the week before.
2 weeks ago.
I aired my grievances because Alvin has seen John, aka Heads Ain't Ready, like 608 times in quarantine to buy shoes from him. And I've seen him one time to deliver him some buns. So I was very jealous and I told Alvin no more seeing John. And then I got tagged today by John in a story and it's just panning up to Alvin walking towards John with a big smile, and he says, "This is for Lawrence," and I'm really mad about it. So this better be a good pickup because I feel cheated.
Yeah, it's all right. It's an all right pickup.
It's an all right pickup.
So basically, the last time I saw John, he was like, "Oh, I don't know, I might sell my other like New Balances." I was like, "Dude, just hit me up. You know, I want the premieres. I want like." Whatever, like the Kith 998s. And I get home and he texts me. He's like, "Actually, you know what? Yeah, I'll sell those 998s. I'm like, "Oh, dope. How much?" And he gave me a price and he's like, "Oh, I have the jacket too." And I'm like, "Oh, dope. How much?"
Ooh.
And then he just gave me a really good price for the jacket and the matching shoes. Mm. So basically, it's the 998 City Never Sleeps.
Yes.
Nice. Kith.
Is that the one you said you wanted like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Sick.
Wow.
It's like the Navy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, "You know what, John? I have the money today." And I texted him today and he's like, "Yeah, I'm down." And then I went to see his beautiful face. and I got the shoes. I was trying to hide it from Lawrence, but I guess I can't hide it when I get tagged. So.
No, yeah. He was trying to sneak behind my back. He tried to.
I wore a hat and everything.
He had the fake mustache on, and he was trying to.
The U thing? You guys watch U?
Oh, yeah, he just pulls his hat down. Yeah. He thinks he's hiding, and then he gets tagged. I get tagged, and I'm just, I'm hurt. And then to find out that he bought another pair of shoes. When I see Alvin for the next time, I'm going to have to bring him shoes, or it's just like he's not going to be even happy to see me. Because John has been bringing him shoes for the last month and a half, and if I don't bring shoes, if I don't bring him shoes, he's gonna be like, "I'm just gonna hang out with John more now."
So wait, you did you like? Did, so then you sent us a picture that you were at Shoppers though.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
were he you sent really at Shoppers.
See, he sent a snap to the group chat, and he's like, "Oh, I'm at Shoppers. Look at me, I'm at Shoppers Drug Mart." That's what he was trying. Like, he was trying to lie. He was trying to. He's trying to have an alibi. He's trying to cheat.
That's what it was.
Paper trail. Paper trail.
Exactly. What do you mean? I didn't buy shoes. I was at Shoppers. Look, I sent a picture.
That was an old video he had.
I think it was in his archives, memories. It was memories. Oh my God! Wow. Well, I'm happy for you. I hope you two are. I hope you two are happy and have a long, happy life. I'll send my gift in the mail.
Send my gift.
John, if you're listening.
Don't worry, he hasn't gone to Kaya yet. You're fine.
That's true. Yeah, I have that. I don't know if she still remembers who I am now after 2 months apart. But I don't know
she
how much.
She remembers John.
Yeah, she remembers John real well. Yeah. Because John always gives freebies too. You go visit John, he's like, here's a deck of cards, here's a sticker. Yeah. Like Alvin's going home with like toys for Kaya, like, look what Uncle John got you.
You got the jacket too? Do you get the jacket, Alvin?
Yeah.
Sick. Yeah.
Wait, goodness. For that shoe?
For that shoe, yeah.
Oh, shit, that's crazy.
Damn. No. Big pickups
for
Alvin.
Pretty nice jacket, too. But it's a 2X. That means I just grew because I fit into it really nicely.
New Balance fits small. It's a, we'll say that.
2X?
It's snug. No. It's a snug fit.
It's a 2X, but it fits like an XL.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Just I'll
cut it
that.
Up and make a mask.
There you go. Yeah.
With the kit.
With kit, that would actually be fire. You have the richest mask in the game, bro.
Sick, bro.
Calvi would be the most jealous person in the world if you did.
Oh, shit.
All right. Enough talking about John. He's got enough airtime. He's already gotten enough. I don't want any more. Anyways, next up, thumbs down. And this week, heads ain't ready. In this part of the show, we give our opinion on various sneaker-related topics with zero context or discussion. All we're allowed to say is thumbs up or thumbs down. And because we have Christopher Chu on the podcast for the fourth time, this week's thumbs up, thumbs down is, I believe we've done doubling up already, but this week's thumbs up, thumbs down is tripling up. Alvin, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Down.
I was going to say, don't change it because Chris is here now.
No.
Joel, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Up.
Oh. I'm a thumbs down. Chris, what are you?
Up.
What a surprise. Oh, my goodness. Next up, NSR. Chris, you're not allowed to talk about it. Next up, NSR. We talk about sneakers a lot. So in this weekly segment, we're going to take 30 seconds out of the show to discuss something completely irrelevant to the world of sneakers. And this is something that I was thinking about. And like Alvin said, we get paid to get mad at stupid things. So this is one of those things. And mostly because of the whole COVID-19 situation, this has been more prevalent. But just in general, when you're walking on a sidewalk, you're walking towards someone else. Are you a mover, or are you the one who just steadfast keeps going straight and you wait for them to move? Which one are you? Because there's two types of people in the world, really. There's the one who, when you're walking towards somebody, you're the one who steps to the side and changes course slightly so they may go by, or you are the one who just straight full speed ahead and you just wait for them to get out of your way. Joel, which one are you?
I'm the one that stops and steps aside.
Oh, you do the stop. Full stop.
Sidestep.
Full stop, sidestep.
full stop, side step.
The gentleman stop.
And like the head nod.
And the nod. Thing. Wow.
Yeah.
That's aggressively nice, Joel.
That's me.
Alvin, which one are you?
I just keep walking, but I move all the way to the side.
Okay. And you just hope that they will do the same?
Well, if you don't, you're bumping into me.
Mm.
But if you look like me or Joel, you're not going to want to do that. So
that's true. Until Joel gives them the gentlemanly swaft beside him, and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Recently I've been the just keep walking straight and wait for them to move, especially when it's a group of people you're walking towards and you're by yourself. And you're walking towards like a group of two or three people, and they're taking up the whole sidewalk because they're walking in like a straight line, like a can line, and they're taking up the whole sidewalk, and you're just trying to walk. And these guys are not moving, so I steady the course, and I wait for them to split up their little situation there, and I just go straight through them like it's Red Rover. Chris, which one are you?
I'm a bit of both, but mainly because I have a fuck off face when I'm walking in the streets. So then, like, if people see my fuck off face, they usually like get out of my way. But every now and then, I like to show them that I have like my point guard skills, and I like to go through picks and shit. So I'm like going through them, you know, like.
The defense.
There's literally a global pandemic going on, and Chris is out here Euro stepping through groups of people.
Shoulder to shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder.
Rubbing up on people on purpose.
And you do the speeder sound when you
with through his mask though. Make it clear. He's doing this all with a muffled he has a silencer on his speeder. And that was about 30 seconds. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time. Next up, errors, edits, and e-messages. We're pretty smart guys, but from time to time we make mistakes. So if you catch us slipping, hit us in the DM and we'll let the world know that we goofed. And just one message to read out this week. And this is not a mistake like we're used to hearing. This is some feedback. So last week, it would have been the last episode / last week, we had Tara and Ahmad on the episode. Great episode. If you're listening right now and you didn't listen, go back and listen to that one immediately. Chris is not as interesting as Tara and Ahmad, believe me. But this one comes in from Bryant Ke. It's Bryant Ke on Instagram. He says, hey, y'all, loving the extra episodes. It's been great listening to them while working on a bunch of DIY projects I have going on during this extended downtime. I'm just in the midst of listening to episode 116 with Tara and Ahmad and want to give my 2 cents on dating someone with the same sized feet. Because if you'll remember last week, we asked Tara and Ahmad, would you prefer if you could wear the same size? She's like a 7 and he's like a 12. He says, I'm a men's 7.5, but often buy 8 because 7.5 is impossible to find. And dated a girl a while back who wore the same size. I originally thought it would be nice to be able to share our collections, but it was honestly more frustrating than convenient. Pairs would go missing because she'd be wearing them. We'd argue over who wanted to wear what pairs, even though we had separate collections. And favorite pairs would often turn up beat up, hella dirty, or damaged. So while it was nice to switch up the rotation with something I didn't necessarily own, it was more inconvenient than anything. Yeah.
I can see that.
First of all, I can see why she's an ex-girlfriend. Because if she's beating your favorite, hopefully I'd read that right and she is an ex-girlfriend. I hope that she is, because she's beating up your favorite pairs and she doesn't know what's up.
Yep.
If she's bringing to the table like a bunch of, you know, like Skechers and Roche Runs and stuff, I don't think that counts as sharing a collection. So if she's out here wearing your Bread Ones and Chicago Ones and she's like, yeah, you can wear those Roches over there. I don't know if that counts. But yeah, I don't know how I'd feel. Chris, would you want to be the same shoe size as your significant other?
No. I'm very possessive. I like owning my own stuff. My stuff.
Yeah.
And I think everyone treats their sneakers or their gear differently than anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree.
It'd be nerve-wracking.
Yeah, very particular about things. If it creases, I should be the one who creased it, you know?
Like, exactly. Yeah,
I did that. I know why it's creased. Your excuse is not as good as my excuse would have been. So,
yeah.
But thank you, Bryant, for that that story. That's interesting. That's never something we really had to think about before. So the main discussion... go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I have a special shout-out since we're in the EE...
There's a lot section. Of E's, yeah.
Yeah. It's... Collard wanted to say, "What's up, Lawrence?" during this E.
That's what he wanted to say.
Section, right?
That's just specifically he said, to you'll me. Know.
He'll say, "Yes, yeah, specifically you." He said, "You know what it's about."
Mm, oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, so, yeah. Oh, he said, oh. "What's up?"
What's
okay. What's really good, Lawrence?
Oh, like that.
I think it's because I called. I just said bread instead of black and red, and he already heard it.
I don't know. I'm staying out of this. I'm bringing it to you, but I'm staying out of this.
If Uncle Scott wants the smoke, because we're stealing Christopher Chu, the shining star from the Sneaker Podcast, he can come get all the smoke. All of it. Just the same way that I was jealous about John and Alvin, Sean is jealous about Chris and True to Size right now. Anyways. Whatever, Sean, Uncle Scott, you had your chance, but it's Chris's turn. Anyways, the main thing we're going to talk about this week. So it seems like slowly but surely, I don't want to jinx it by any means, knock on wood. We're slowly coming out of this whole COVID-19 nonsense. It's definitely a lot better than it was a month ago, even a couple weeks ago. Cases are slowly going down. I know businesses in Ontario are slowly starting to open up. I know Chris can attest or let us know how Montreal is doing in a second. But in terms of Ontario and Toronto specifically, any store with a street front entrance is allowed to open with a limited capacity and or curbside pickup and or delivery. So if you walk around downtown, everything is pretty much open. It's just very, very restricted. Chris, are things in Montreal starting to open up again slowly yet, or?
No, I don't have like a, I didn't hear, maybe I'm not paying attention to specific dates on stores. I think I would have heard something if they had specific dates for Montreal. Montreal's been hit hard.
Yeah.
Maybe in the downtown island area. Mm. So, maybe they did announce. All I know is like school's done till September. I think you guys got the same.
Yeah, same with us.
Yeah.
In terms of stores, I don't know. But we've been pretty active in terms of like the delivery food, the pickup food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know like I just mentioned earlier, I went to go get ice cream and that was fine. Mm-hmm. Like you're allowed to go into spots.
Oh, that's good.
Max 2 to 3 people in the store at the time. So, but in terms of shoe stores, I don't know. I don't know of any store fronts that need to open. Most of them are active online. So,
yeah. So that's definitely like what we're going to talk about today is the new normal kind of thing. So as things are slowly progressing back to whatever we'll call the new normal, we're going to kind of wonder and speculate and talk about what we think that could look like or what we think it'll mean for certain aspects of the sneaker world. So, first of all, obviously the main thing hit by this was stores and storefronts. And so specifically for in-store sneaker shopping, which was already unfortunately kind of a dying breed. It was kind of on its way out. It was taking the backseat to online in a lot of respects. But a lot of stores in Toronto now, sneaker stores even, are offering curbside pickup. So essentially you either call or you place an order online and then you're allowed to go and meet someone at the door and pick up your pair of shoes. What do you guys think of this in terms of like sneaker buying? How do you think curbside pickup for your shoes is going to work out? Alvin, what do you think?
Like for sneakerheads, it's fine because we already know what we want and we don't really have to see it. Because if we want a shoe, we will just purchase it. It's just I would think the general population who still needs to try on their shoes, who still don't know what they want, they still need to see what the store has. I think it'll be a little bit of a struggle for them, especially if, you know, they don't know what their shoe size is. And from my experience working at Foot Locker, there's still a good chunk of people who think they know their size, but really don't. It'll be a struggle for them. But aside from that, I mean, curbside pickup, I would assume, is one of the safest things to do at this time. But it's still going to take away from that customer who still has to see and touch and feel and try on. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Joel, what do you think? Would you ever curbside pick up a pair of shoes?
Yeah, man, like I would. Like you said, we know what we want, and you know, pretty much it's like, you know, we know our sizes and whatnot, and in, you know, various, you know, brands, sneaker brands. So I'm pretty sure, you know, shouldn't be a problem grabbing it.
It's weird for me to think about doing curbside pickup. And we'll get into this a little bit as well. But like, if I was going to do curbside pickup, I would probably just do delivery. Unless it was something that was very urgent. Like if it's a release and the option is delivery or curbside pickup, and I want my shoe the same day so I can flex and get clout on Instagram immediately, then I would do curbside pickup. But otherwise, I would usually just probably opt for delivery, because why go out of my house? Chris, can you see this catching on, the whole curbside pickup thing, even maybe past this whole COVID-19 nonsense?
Yeah, I think curbside pickup's a good option. I think a lot of stores already set up like their curbside pickup process, and I would actually prefer curbside to delivery because if it's like local, because it does give you something to do, and it's like, in terms of risk or whatnot, it's pretty low.
That's true.
And of course it's less delay and doesn't tax the delivery companies as much, which is cool.
That's also very true. So along with the curbside, I've seen a couple stores offering appointments. So because in Toronto, at least, you're allowed to, I think, like Chris said, up to like three, depending on the store size, I guess, 3 to 10 people at a time kind of thing. You're allowed to book an appointment at a store and then go and shop there. Is that something you guys could see yourself ever doing? Like, if this continues past the next couple of weeks kind of thing? Like, personally, I don't see myself needing to go in a store that bad that I would book an appointment to go shopping anywhere, really, like, that's non-essential. If it gets to the point where we have to book an appointment to go to a grocery store, like, maybe that's something they should have done in the past so there wouldn't be lineups at the store. But that's just a different, that's a different point. But yeah, I can't see myself ever being like, you know what, I think I want to go to Livestock next Saturday. I'm going to call them today, book an appointment. I'm going to go at 3 p.m. Like, it just, sneakers buying for me was never that structured. It was kind of random. So booking an appointment seems out of the norm for me. But what do you guys think, Alvin? What's your thought?
For me personally, nah, man. Like, I personally haven't bought a pair of sneakers from a store in forever.
Yeah.
Just because I haven't really been looking for any of the newer stuff. Right now, I'm just hunting for things that I've wanted in the past. And if I want something from a store, honestly, man, I'm just gonna be. I mean, like Chris said, it's cool to have something to do. But if that store is downtown and I have to go there from Milton, and especially it's honestly, I like the drive because I love driving.
Right now, the drive is beautiful because there's no traffic.
Yeah. But at the same time, the foot traffic downtown right now isn't what I want to be in. Just because, like, I mean, yeah, people are staying away from one another, but the amount of people that are on the streets isn't really my thing right now, especially with what's going on. So I would still prefer to just chill at home and just do my thing here.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Joel, what do you think? Are you booking an appointment to go sneaker shopping? It sounds like a personal shopper situation. Like, I feel like I'm a little bit rich to even say that.
Right? I don't know. Like, I don't think I would see myself doing something like that. I can see other people, like, agreeing to it just to, you know, be outside or have that, like, hands-on kind of, you know, feel to it. Like, you know, actually feel a shoe kind of thing. And whatnot, and I don't know, I guess just the whole, you know, socializing and whatnot, like, some people need that, you know, some people, I don't know, they risk to do something like that, but I don't see myself doing something in particular of, like, booking an appointment of going to Livestock at, like, 2:30 or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like you said, like, so many foot traffic around there, such a big risk, especially now. I just wait it out, man.
Yeah, I don't feel the need. Chris, are you
there's
like
no
a
rush?
Yeah, there's no. I don't feel the need to book an appointment to go to livestock. But Chris, are you a structured individual? Like for some reason, you come off as the kind of guy who is very structured. So I don't think you would mind the appointment situation. If you could make an appointment for every stop you need to go to.
Yeah. I'm going to present you guys a scenario. That's actually a pitch of some sort, since you're all kind of not in for it. Mm-hmm. So you all enjoy the Walter Disneys.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if I believe it works this way, that you have lines there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you have certain areas where you can access quicker, right? But dependent on the time or how long you use the fast pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you can't use like multiple fast passes in a row. Mm-hmm. You need to space them out, schedule this stuff, right? So in a way, you kind of have to plan out your day and plan out how you're going to access a specific ride to maximize your time. Okay, we're going to leave that to the side. Imagine an app, okay? Every boutique having an app.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then you're in the area of that boutique. You log into their app and you check if there's open slots available to go visit the store. Oh, there is. I book it. Boom, boom, boom. They have your name and your time slot, and you know when you can go into the store. And when you walk up, all you have to do is show your app. Okay, so it kind of eliminates the point of you standing in line to get into a shop,
mm-hmm.
but it also gives you that appointment and you know when you have your scheduled time. On the flip side, the store then gets your info because you need to log on to their app to have your name and everything. Now, of course, they get your information. Stores, what they do with your personal info is what they do,
mm-hmm.
and it's, of course, of value. And what that also provides to them is an idea that I once had is they're doing this pseudo personal shopper thing for you, right? Because you're going one-on-one with one sales rep. But they also have a history of all your past purchases, your shoe size, and they know what your preferred styles are. So when you walk in, you're looking for one specific type of shoe, but in the back, that guy has already looked at what shoes you've bought from them before. And you go, I know that you've bought this shoe from us. You want to check this one out as well that you didn't think of looking at.
Mm.
And they could kind of cater your experience to your specific needs.
Mm.
And I'm kind of bougie and I kind of like that.
It sounds like, first of all, this is not the first time you've thought about this. That's my first thing. Second of all, it sounds like this is already in development in the Chew household. Like, I feel like you're currently coding the app for this.
Like, I have to log on to my wife's app and say, are you available?
Are you available?
Yeah.
You know what my needs are, what my likes are.
Can I sign up for dinner at 6:30 tonight? Or
I know.
Yeah, like if we're talking down the line when it's whatever these phases and stages or whatever they're proposing, if we're talking down the line when things are more open, things are more safe, but they're still trying to limit stuff, I can imagine a world where, you know, I'm spending a day downtown and I'm like, yeah, you know, I want to visit ABCD and I know all my favorite stores are on this app. That would be cool. Like, you know, you're on Queen Street West and as you're walking down, you have an appointment here, there, get lunch, you have an appointment there, whatever. The thing that I think would be tough is for the big box stores that are in malls where you're talking like, I know personally when I go to a mall, I go like a chicken with my head cut off. Like I kind of just walk in and, oh, there's an escalator. Let's go down. Oh, let's go up. There's an elevator. Boom, boom, all over the place. Oh, outside. I'm going to get lunch everywhere. I don't think malls are as structured as walking down Queen Street West in a straight line and, you know, store left, right kind of thing all the way. So I could definitely see that working boutique wise. It would definitely hinder malls a lot.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a novel concept. Like I definitely can see it coming to fruition in that way if things progress the way that they're going, like 100%. So let's assume now we've got all the appointments out of the way. We booked our appointment at Livestock. We got into the store. We didn't wait in line. We had an appointment. And now we're in the store. We're not us. We're more of a casual shopper. Just looking for a pair of shoes. Do you think that stores should be allowing people to try stuff on right now? Or in the near future, should people be able to try stuff on, touch, hold, feel, put their foot in, walk around. Like it's kind of necessary if you don't know how a shoe feels and you're not, a person who sits in a room full of 100 pairs every night. You need to know how it fits on your foot and how it's going to feel if you're going to wear it 4 or 5 days a week. But should they be allowed, should it be a thing? Like, it's kind of a thumbs up, thumbs down situation. Like, Alvin, what do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, man. I mean, so long as you have the proper PPE
for your foot
popping off, like, you should be good. Not even for your. I mean, obviously, if you don't have socks on, that's fucked up. But
that's fucked up no matter what. Just on, for anybody listening, that's fucked up no matter what shoes, age.
With no fucking socks on, that's fucked up. Like, yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm joking, but not really. But, like, I mean, yeah, socks, gloves, mask, like, whatever you need to, like, try on the shoe. Like, I mean, in terms of quality, you can see that for the most part. So you don't really have to feel how the suede feels or how the leather feels. But it's like, if you want to put a shoe on, just make sure you have socks on. And then obviously, like, you know, so long as it's like, if you're there by yourself, you don't really have to worry about, you know, a crowd being there and stuff. So it'll be safe. It's just my thought process right now is like, yeah, people will book these appointments, but what if they don't buy shit?
Yeah. That's what I mean.
It's a waste,
like,
of their time.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how is that going to impact the store, like the boutique, right? Yeah. So, like, and I feel like the only people booking appointments for these boutiques are sneakerheads who know what they're going to buy.
Yeah.
Or, like, are itching, right? Like, I see the general public still going more towards, like, a Foot Locker or, like, a Champs or something like that, as opposed to, like, trying to book something at a boutique, you know? Mm. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and like you said, if they book an appointment and they have a half-hour time slot and they're just, like, they're not going to buy anything.
Yeah,
they wasted a time slot for a window shopper, essentially, where someone who wanted to purchase something could be in there. Yeah, that's a really good point. Joel, what do you think? Joel's having a panic or a cough attack. Chris, what do you think, Chris? Should they be letting people try on shoes? Because now stores are open. You can go in Toronto and look around. Should you be able to try stuff on?
Yeah, I think you should be able to. I mean, people have been trying stuff on before without being scrutinized. And who knows what people had already.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, maybe people had, like, really stank feet.
Could be scarier.
Know, like, whatever.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So now, at least after they try on, we know, like, you could spray it or whatnot.
Yeah.
Or... yeah. But anyways, you're going to bring a pair of shoes home now. You're going to spray it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do something to it before you put your foot in it.
Yeah.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it should definitely be common practice that anytime someone puts a shoe on, it should be disinfected. Like, they should be swiping stuff down throughout the day anyways. But yeah. Joel, yes or no? Trying on shoes / clothes, I guess.
Ah, man. Like you said, like, I don't know. Like, I think they should at least have, like, maybe one pair designated. I know it's kind of far-fetched, but, like, one pair designated just for, like, trying on, like, in each size kind of thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, this guy wants to try on a size 8.
One
okay,
very dirty sneaker.
Yeah, get him this one pair. Yeah.
You know, no one's going to buy that, bro.
Yeah. After that, it goes to, like, you know, whatever. But anyways, I don't know. Maybe something like that. I don't know. It's kind of messed up. Like, right now, it's hard right now because it's like, you know, nobody wants to take that risk. And like you said, you're going to book, like, a half-hour appointment. Meanwhile, you're just there just to, like, look around or dick around, right? And you know, you're losing that one spot to some person that actually wants to buy stuff.
Yeah. So. Yeah, like, yeah. Stores are struggling so much because they had to close, obviously. But they may struggle even more now as they're trying to open. Because at least when they were closed, they know they didn't have to pay a staff member to be there. They didn't have to pay to keep the lights on. They didn't have to pay for whatever. Now they're open. They have to pay 2-3 staff members to work throughout the day. And they're selling 2 pairs of shoes a day because half of them are appointments, half of them are online orders. There's people coming in, but people are just coming in because they want to get out of the house. Like, it's such a tough situation. And I think the thing, like, for sneaker store shopping that's mostly going to affect us or a lot of our listeners is releases. How do you think they should be handling releases going forward? Alvin, anything you can really think of? Like, I have no idea what to even say for this because it's complicated.
Honestly,
as F.
Yo, just online raffles, man, like how they've been doing it now, just because you don't really want to line up outside of your store with what's going on right now. And the safest way for you and your staff is to just have a raffle, online raffle, and just to like let people know they won and ship the shoes out, as opposed to having people come. I mean, I guess if you want people to come in and pick them up, like do that too. But at the same time, it's just like, again, you're going to have to pay like how many people to be in the store just to watch people, as opposed to having one person just have stuff labeled and shipped out the next day.
Yeah.
So I think the safest in terms of releases is probably still just have shit online and just do a raffle if you really want, or first come, first serve. Whoever gets it, right? And that's it.
First come, first serve online, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we should just have lineups.
Actually put that shit online, bro.
Yeah.
Don't be like posting it on Instagram saying you're going to post it and have it online, and then nothing pops up. A store in Ottawa.
Sorry. That's just not normal practice. I don't know why they did that.
Normally.
Yeah, normally what they would do. Joel, what do you think about releases? How should these stores be handling? Because there's some big ones coming up now, like we were talking before about the Ben & Jerry's. We haven't really seen a massive one that I can think of that's happened since this has all started. It's been big ones, but nothing ground-shaking like the Travis Scott 270 React or things like that. What do you think should be the policy here?
I think they should just like keep going with the online raffles, man. Like, that's pretty much your best bet. And, you know, like, if worse comes to worse, like, curbside pickup, you win it, and it's like, you know, you got to show them, like, you know, at the window, your whatever, you've got the receipt, and you know, step back, and, you know, drop off the bag, and there you go. Like, nowadays, it's probably the only way to go, like, until, like, everything gets all cleared up, and everybody gets the okay when borders open up, so, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's tough.
Chris, what are you thinking about best ways to do these releases? Like, is online, obviously online is the way to go, but is there like specifics that these places should be instilling in their raffles, or just literally leave it open to the entire globe?
I like the first come, first serve online.
Yeah.
I mean, the online raffles, you never know like who's controlling what.
Yeah.
But and I like my chances on first come, first serve. I have like a lot of patience and good internet, so let's go with that.
Chris has good quick fingers, so
quick fingers, yo.
I have good intel that Chris has very quick fingers. Yeah, the only thing
is the fingers that are quick. Yeah.
Quick finger Chris is what they called him in high school. Yeah, so, like, I definitely agree it obviously has to be online. Like, you can't have people lining up outside your store, whether it be to line up for first come, first serve or a raffle. And it seems like a lot of places have been doing online raffles, which, like you guys said, like, you never know where it's going. I always feel so disheartened when I see a place doing an online raffle, because it's like, okay, fill out this Google form, and once you send it off to the internet, it's like, well, that was a waste of my 3 minutes, because I feel like I'm never going to see anything from that ever again. And a lot of these places aren't even limiting it to locals, which is unfortunate, because you would want your typical customer base to have the best opportunity to win the shoe, so that when things reopen, they're happy with you. But like, a lot of these stores are doing online raffles, and it's open to the entire world. Like, they're shipping worldwide, which obviously works well for me when I want a pair of shoes, but doesn't work well for me when I want a pair of shoes that's coming out locally. Your chances just go down the drain. And first come, first serve online as well. Like Chris mentioned, you have to have a lot of patience. You have to have fast internet. But the prevalence of bots nowadays is just killing me. And yeah, I feel like I'm airing grievances a little bit. But yeah, it's a frustrating time right now. And all I can do is prepare to pay resale for all the things that I want, I think. Because I don't think there's a way to do it that will make everybody happy. There never is, but yeah.
Yeah. You know why? I have an idea of why some stores don't do the local only raffle. Someone was showing me something where they did an online raffle, and a good maybe 40% of the people that they reach out to saying you won, ditch, like they flake.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe it was for that particular release. It was higher than usual, but then they'd have to find the names again, get those names again, pick some new people, reach out to them, and then wait again. And then weed out the flakers from there.
Yeah.
And if that happens to you locally, like your pool is smaller and smaller.
Definitely.
But globally or larger for countrywide, your chances of finding people that actually like hit and want and pay right away is bigger, is better chance for you. So less work.
I feel like it's that accompanied with the fact that all these Instagram or online raffles are always follow, like, and then fill out the form. If you open it up to the world, like you said, it's a bigger pool. You're getting 20, 30, 40, 50 times the followers probably if you open it up to everybody. If you do it locally only, everyone probably follows you already anyways, so there's no point. And at this point, especially because things are moving more and more online, the followers are literal money right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what about sneaker meetups? I know Alvin's done a couple dozen in the past couple weeks. but like, how should these be organized? Like, I feel like there's obviously, I haven't done any. I had to think about it for a second. I haven't done any since this all started. Like, how, Alvin can speak to this, but how are they organized? Like, what's the protocol? Obviously, there's a mutual understanding between everybody that things are not okay right now, and there's a lot of trust between people. If you're meeting up with somebody who doesn't live in your house to exchange goods and money, because both of those things could carry the virus, like, what's the protocol here, Alvin? Like, how do you even go about doing a sneaker meetup in the COVID-19 era?
I mean, recently, in terms of my transactions with, you know, the good friend John, just to keep everything safe, like how I give him the money is just essentially just to do e-transfer.
That's smart. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about transferring anything. Like, they get the money right away. I suggest that everybody does auto deposit like ASAP, because I feel like that's how these things are going to be starting to go. Like, obviously, if you haven't done business with the person yet, don't send them the money until
you're there,
you see the shoes or you see the goods, or until you're there. But like with John, I know him, like, he's a homie. So obviously with him, I just sent him the money just to like be like, here man, we can meet up whenever, I don't care, but just take the money. And then when we actually met up, I mean obviously we can't go to a mall, not that I would need to go to a mall with John because we trust him, but it's just like, usually if it's someone you don't know, you want to go to a high traffic place. But because malls are closed and the parking lots are essentially empty as F, just to be safe, you probably want, like, I've been doing meetups with him at a gas station at a major intersection, just because it's always high traffic. There's always people driving by. And it's easy. It's an easy location to get to. It's right off the highway, right? So, I mean, something like that would probably be better than, you know, going to an empty mall parking lot where you can easily get jumped or, you know, have your stuff taken from you. And yeah, that's it. And then with John, like, for him to be safe, he just puts the shoes in his trunk, opens up his trunk, and then whoever's buying the shoes will just take them from the trunk. So it's literally like contactless pickup. You know what I mean? So I would think that that's how they should be going now. I mean, if you have to exchange cash, like when I purchased the 997s, the championship pack, I got cash from it because of the trade. I literally took Lysol wipes to my cash and just wiped them all down. With gloves on, you know what I mean? Just, I mean, it's not going to do much, but at least you're doing something to the cash. You don't know where it's been. And you can never be too safe. So, I mean, those are the precautions I've taken. I mean, you could definitely take more if you really want to. You could always pay for extra shipping, but if you want to get out and get it right away, that's how I believe meetups should happen from now.
Yeah, we have a lot of perks about living in Canada, but one of the many right now is waterproof money. Being able to wash it and wipe it down is coming very clutch. I never thought I would say this, that we needed plastic money, but whatever government decided that was a good idea, kudos to them. But like, you made a lot of good points. The cash is one big thing. Like, e-transfer is definitely the way to go. If you meet up with somebody, you can stand 6 feet apart after you've exchanged the shoes and wait there while they e-transfer you the money. They're still within arm's reach if you need to escalate things. Hopefully you don't. But yeah, the contactless thing is a big thing. The shipping thing is still like really sketchy to me, especially if we're talking like a Facebook meetup or a Kijiji style meetup where you don't know the person on a personal level, where you can say, here's some money, like, mail me the shoe. I'm still a little bit sketchy on that. But yeah, Chris, have you picked up anything in the last couple of weeks from like a meetup style situation and how it's gone? Or?
Yeah, I have. It's been pretty much, just leave them on the hood of the car and then step away and then the next person steps over. Man, these are all friends.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's, or like people that I know. And yeah. I think, I don't know if I do meetups with people that I don't know anymore.
Really?
Not for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not worth it. I don't need something that bad, I think.
That's very true. Yeah. That's something that a lot of people need to remember is you don't need it that bad to risk whatever you could be exposing yourself to for a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. Not necessary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joel, have you picked up anything in the last couple of weeks where you've had to meet up with somebody?
Well, it wasn't really a pair of sneakers. It was for a pair of Clippers. And what I had to do was I had to, like, he didn't have auto deposit, so I sent him an EMT. But the catch is I don't give him the password until I actually see the product in hand, kind of thing. So what happened was, like, I would go there, I would be like, "Yo, I sent you the money, but I'll give you the password when I see the Clippers. I'll see how if they're okay and whatnot." So that's how it went. Like, he would drop it off. It was like a porch pickup. So he would drop it off on his porch. I would roll up, obviously, with my PPE, gloves, mask, and whatever. I'd come up, take a look at it, open up the box, and take a look at it, and then everything's okay. I would text him. I would stand there on his porch, text him the password, and then if it goes through, then, you know, I get a thumbs up, whatever. There you go. So that's how we deal with the whole, like, non-auto deposit, EMT. So,
that's a very good point.
Yeah, man.
And I guess another cool positive thing to come of all this is that now we all kind of feel like mobsters in a gang movie where it's like, leave it on the porch and I'll pick it up outside. Like, I think everyone should be doing exchanges in, like, silver briefcases and stuff from now on just to make us feel a little bit better about what's going on. This one will be really quick, maybe even just a thumbs up, thumbs down, but if you want to dive into it, you can. What about sneaker conventions?
Oh.
Like, I mean, obviously not in the next month or two, but even like early 2021, can you guys see it happening? Alvin, just thumbs up, thumbs down.
I honestly think that they're a write-off right now, man.
Absolutely.
There is absolutely no need for anyone to be going anywhere to set up a table. Though it's fun and be able to chop it up with people, but you can do that online now, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just comment on someone's photo and you guys can, like, stir up a friendship and all that goodness, right? So it's not even necessary. And everything's online now, man. Like, all the resellers have all their Instagrams and stuff. And it's just, like, to keep everyone safe, it's a thumbs hella down for me. At least in the near future, anyway.
Christopher Chu, thumbs up, thumbs down. Sneaker conventions in the next year, year and a half, really?
I'd like to say up.
Really?
Just to keep the hope up.
Okay, so it's an optimistic thumbs up.
Yeah, because, look, if there's any percentage of risk, nothing's happening. Like, no one's getting any license to hold an event like that, you know?
That's true, yeah. That's very true.
With the hope that we're all going towards the right direction, I'm hoping that eventually it is safe, and then at that point, I would feel safe if, like, it's authorized to have such gatherings, then I'm all for it. I think we got to move forward.
That's true. At some point, we have to go back to some remnants of normal. Joel, what do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down on sneaker conventions by the end of 2021?
By the end of 2021?
Yeah, so we're giving it a year and a half.
Like Chris said, hopefully, and for the sake of normalcy, I would like to say thumbs up. Just to, you know, obviously we'll probably have the whole mask. I think the mask thing will never go away.
Really?
I think we'll have that mask thing for quite some time until, like, you know, you'll have your odds and ends with the mask that'll wear it all the time. Like, you know, those guys that wear it inside their cars. You know, like you're inside your car, bro. Like, anyway, so it's like, I think that'll always be there. But I think for the sake of normalcy and for the sake of hope, I would like to say thumbs up.
I like that. I like the optimistic thumbs up from you guys. I give it a thumbs down as well because I don't see it happening. But but at least half of us are really optimistic and high hopes for the near future. I do want to let you guys know, I mean, Adrift just posted their Ben and Jerry's raffle, so if you guys could sign up for a size 9 for me, that would be awesome. Anyways, so last week we started a new segment where we're just kind of shouting out a frontline worker to end off the episode. It was really well received, and we got a message from a really loyal listener from England. His Instagram is Size Goss, SYZGOSS. He says, "Hey man, thought I'd say hi from sunny England." I think that's sarcasm. I would assume it's sarcasm. But he says, "I want to let you know that I'm a regular listener and I'm currently a key worker in the pharmaceutical industry working nights. Ooh. And you guys on the pod helped me get through the shifts. It was my birthday this week. I'm an old sneakerhead at 44 and have been since the year that I got my first pair of Air Maxes and Air Jordan 6s in 1991. And I had a decent week for Jordan pickups. I got the laser blue Jordan 1 lows, the satin black Air Jordan 1 high, the Chicago black toe mids, and the royal toe highs. That's like a Christopher Chu style week. Like, that's a lot of Jordan 1s for the... Good for you, bro. He says, and to add to that, my wife just presented me with a late birthday present, the Adidas Night Jogger Star Wars R2-D2 edition, which is a really clean shoe. He says, she knew that I love them, and what more is she actually hates them, but she still got them for me anyways. that's the best, when they bite the bullet anyways. Yeah, she is a keeper. And he says, keep up the great work, and I'm already looking forward to the next pod. That's like... Bruh, listening to the podcast while you're saving the world, you're the real superhero, bro. That's amazing.
Yeah, man.
I feel like we're pseudo superheroes because you're listening to us while you are doing super things. But very cool of you to reach out to us all the way from sunny England. Stay safe, bro. And we hope you enjoy this episode. Chris, thank you for being here.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
It was a really good episode.
Mercy bucket, bro.
Mercy.
I
want
to give a shout out to that dude too.
You can't steal True to Size. You go on your podcast and you give your own shout out.
Shout him out.
Why are you gonna bring it to the negative? Shouting the guy out. We're like his Alfred to his Batman, right?
Ooh, I like
you're
that.
In his ear while he's working.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
Huh? And Pennyworth.
Pennyworth.
Thank you for making us the butler. We couldn't even be Robin. He had to say we're the butler.
Nope. You ain't got the legs for Robin.
If I keep running, I will soon. Don't you worry. You'll see. Chris, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. It's always fun. We hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you to everyone who has supported and or been a part of the podcast. Wherever you're taking in the episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. We've got a website we use for reviews, recap stories, and much, 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 much more called CanadaGotSoul.ca. If you have any questions or suggestions for any of our segments, like the Soul Poll, Sneaker Writing for Dummies, or the Fire Round, shoot us a DM or email us at CanadaGotSoul@gmail.com. And do not forget to use hashtag CanadaGotSoul on Instagram for a feature. I've been Lawrence Hopkins. You can find me at LDoggyStyles on Instagram. Woof.
I'm Joel Hernandez. You can find me at Joe Dooney, JO_D3ONEY.
My name is Alvin Quincy, and you can find me at MISTERQ and then Mark.
Mr. Chu, where can they find you?
At Christopher.Chu.
You don't have like a cool send off, man. Don't you say it on the podcast?
I do.
What? Go ahead.
And back off.
Back off.
Back to Chorin.
You should work on that one. Thank you for listening to us talk about sneakers for 118 episodes. And please remember to rock your kicks. This has been True to Size. We have been CGS and Christopher Chu, and we are out. Peace.
Okay.
That was good. Thank you, Chris. Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Fun, Chris, man. That was very fun. Brother.
You're girthy, Mike.
Yeah. You're very girthy, Mike. Oh, man. That's a two-hander.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.